And good morning. You're tuned to PRN.FM, and this is Heart of Mind Radio. I'm Catherine Davis, your host, and I want to welcome my first guest this morning, Chantal Pierre, and she has served as VIP and of sales and marketing for Sounds True, a multimedia publishing company focused on spirituality, personal growth, and holistic living. In her last year at Sounds True, Chantal spearheaded the successful launch of the Wake Up Festival, Sounds True's first annual national event with over 25 speakers and 800 attendees. Shortly after, in 2012, she founded Emerging Women and Emerging Women Live. And she is a graduate from the University of Colorado and had a career in the medical devices industry. But she sought to find work that would be more in keeping with her dedication to inner transformation and her passion for ideas. And she works now to bring forth the vision of women into the world. And I welcome you, Chantal, to Heart of Mind Radio.
Hello?
There you are. Hi.
I was saying thank you. This is an honor. I'm happy to be here.
I'm very happy to have you. Thank you for making the time this morning. I know you're really busy with the event coming up, Emerging Women Live.
Yes, right around the corner.
Yeah, so that's why I'm really happy that you're here to be able to share with our listeners what this is all about. But I would really love for you to first give us a sense of who you are, and you've followed this path, which to me seems very spiritual, very much based in understanding the larger consciousness of humanity. Mm-hmm. But then you've transitioned into this space where you're really focused on feminine power. Can you tell us something
Yes.
about that journey?
Yes. So basically, as you said in the introduction, my career started in medical devices, and really, the devaluing of my feminine started way before that. It started when I was young, and I learned early on through my parents and especially my father and just the world around me that the way to be successful and take care of myself in the world and to get positive response and positive feedback was to lead with more of my masculine self, which for whatever reason came naturally at that point, whether it was learned or whether I had a strong component of that in me. Either way, that's what my default was. And so I was a driver and very goal-oriented, very me-oriented, and the sensitive side of me and the side that would show vulnerability, I learned very early to just stuff that and stuff it down and not show that part. And so that carried me through, and when I started my career, it came in very handy, and I was successful and helped to grow a startup company in medical devices, and it was all men. And I found myself really just having two personalities, one more with my friends and on my spiritual path, and then having another person showing up to work. And so I left medical devices after I got my MBA at CU and just decided I was really needing to align more of the work I was doing in consciousness on my own time with the work that I was putting out into the world. And that's when I started at Sounds True in the world of publishing and exploring ideas of evolution and consciousness and spirituality and how that actually is not separate from what we put forth in the world, and they're very interconnected. So that's where I lived there, but I brought with me as a business style and a work style and a leadership style all my learned techniques and what I was actually valuing in business was more of a masculine style, and it was not received very well in this beautiful company of consciousness and conscious business and communication, and I started to learn that to be myself, to truly be myself, I really needed to embrace these parts of myself that I was feeling were too risky in business to show. And that's emotion and instinct and really focusing on relationships and empathy and compassion and coming to the table with the view that I don't have to have everything figured out, that I can lead with a team viewpoint and not feel like people are going to think that I'm not a leader. And that was a very big breakthrough for me, not just personally through my own transformation, but as a leader and as a business leader. And that's how, after over a decade working with Tammy Simon and evolving Sounds True and growing sales tremendously at that company, I had two kids, and it just happened that I was, I was a women's studies major at UMass when I was growing up, and I always thought, what am I ever going to do with this women's studies major? Here I am, just coming full circle, and this happens right to all of us. And I'm putting this back in because it was such a passion of mine, and I look around me and I see all these women around me growing and making that same decision of not compromising what's happening on the inside and the truth that they are becoming, not compromising with the decisions that they're making on the outer and making sure that those are aligned. And that's when I started Emerging Women, and here we are. That was about a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm. And this is really a huge event in the sense that there are many women involved and making presentations, and hopefully there'll be many women who will be attending the event. But can you tell us something about the event itself, Emerging Women, as it's going to be happening this year? Who's going to be there presenting, and what kind of experiences will women have?
Right. So this is an event for women leaders, whether you're an entrepreneur or you're an executive or you're running a nonprofit or you're in policy. We've got a lot of people in government coming. And any place where you're feeling called, whatever sector you're in, we have engineers. We have people from MasterCard. We have people from Costco. So it is a cross-sector event, and technology. But if you are a woman leader and you're feeling that you want to really be part of this revolution and evolution of leadership so that we're reaching towards something more integrated and we're integrating those pieces of ourselves that we feel like we need to bury, if that's you, this is what you're going to find. You're going to find women who are all coming as a collective, who are all yearning for a different way of working and all yearning to fully express themselves through the work that they do. We'll start with Brené Brown. I believe strongly in the power of vulnerability because I believe that what feminine leadership brings to the table is the power of connection and relationship. And I think as women gain more power in their lives and in the financial sector, we're about to inherit 2/3 of the country's wealth in the next 10 years. And we have a lot of economic power, a lot of power in leadership, and to be able to recreate the current paradigm is right within our reach. And to have that collective conversation and really focus it on the relationships is going to be very intuitive and natural for us. But we cannot have deep, real relationships unless we're willing to be vulnerable. And it's the hardest thing. That was my big lesson. And so we start with vulnerability. We will have people from the UN talking about the global issue of bringing women together collectively. We're going to hear from Arianna Huffington again on this new paradigm for success. And we have Zainab Salbi talking about forgiveness. We're going to be hearing from Tammy Simon on leading with a servant leadership, playing big, finding your voice, impacting the world, collaboration. So those are the speakers, but there's a whole other thing happening with the participants. We have programs called Power Circles, where this is not a networking event. That word is going to be usurped by the Emerging Women Tribe because networking is not what we're into. We're into connection, real connection. And what happens when you're actually relating to people, even if it's only a half an hour of your time, when you share on deep issues that are really happening, then you create real relationships. And that's when the synergy and the magic happens and you can create, you know, all of a sudden we have an engineer working with somebody in the nonprofit sector and something, you know, really collaborative comes out of that and they're creating a new program together. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're after.
Well, that sounds really great. And in fact, that feels so much more comfortable. You know, I never understood completely how networking was supposed to actually mm-hmm. function in my life. So, but I like the idea of making that connection of really just, you know, meeting a person heart to heart and being able to grow together and build together, which is mm-hmm. a very beautiful thing. So how mm-hmm. will the power circles work during the event? So it's going to be over several days, October 9th to 12th in New York City. And it's at the Sheraton Times Square. So tell us something mm-hmm. about what people will be able to experience over these few days.
Well, we start with the power circles, and then they meet twice, and there's plenty of opportunity of going through that. But that's a process that we have at Emerging Women that we do every event. We lead with power circles because this is not a place where you just go and sit down and watch somebody speak and leave and be inspired. It's 50% inspiration, but it's also 50% collective action and collective sharing. And so if you're a participant, you're going to be having a lot of opportunity to connect deeply with other women. And then at the same time, there are workshops. So if you have something specific, like, you know, we have Writing with Soul Fire from Dominique Christina, and she's the World Women's Poetry Slam champion 2 years in a row, and she's also teaches at universities all across the country and internationally. And so if you want writing or you want to learn to play big or you want to dig deep into your feminine power, there's also Making It Happen. If you've got a project that you're trying to get off the ground but you're just feeling the overwhelm, mm-hmm. there's more like technology, you know, technical tactical workshops, and then there's fun, we're dancing, there's theater. I believe strongly in the arts. I believe strongly in integrating beauty into all of these experiences at Emerging Women, and especially at Emerging Women Live. So we have poetry, music, dance, theater, yoga and meditation in the morning, and so it's an integrated full body experience. The thing about the feminine is that it expresses itself through the body. And oftentimes, especially as women business leaders, we tend to, you know, work from the head up and we forget about the body. So I don't think we can really truly be effective leaders without integrating the body. So we put a lot of emphasis on that as well.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful experience. Can you speak to the greater circle of work that you're doing, you know, with the power circles, but also with interconnecting and things that are happening? I visited your website, and it's a very powerful site because it has a lot of interaction. You know, you get to really see the people who are involved, not just the speakers, but the people who are involved on the ground level. So talk a bit about the greater work that you're doing.
Well, we are out of Boulder, and we're the way that we are rolling out Emerging Women right now is that it's a platform. So we started with events. In about 3 days, we'll be releasing our new website, which will include the power circles. And very soon after that, we're going to be launching an online course platform. And these power circles are both virtual and in person. I think we have 15 cities rolling out in the next 3 days. And we'll be selling the program. We're launching the first 30 circles at the beginning of November. I'm sorry, end of October, beginning of November. And we'll be launching that at the event. And that is a program where you go, you get connected to, there's 7 women in a circle, and they're facilitated. And we explore, and they're all leaders, and we match you. We're like matchmakers for business leaders. If you're a CEO and you want to be at your, you know, we match you usually with other CEOs or other people who are operating businesses at your level. And they're facilitated. We explore things like the power of story, limited beliefs, fear and trust, and a whole host of other themes that are very personal, but also very related to the business world. And especially as we women step into our leadership, these things come up, and we don't have networks right now. The infrastructure for women on peer mentoring, and just collective sharing just does not exist to the level that it exists for men. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're trying to create through this platform.
Mm-hmm. And do you give any thought to the involvement of women in the political process? Because I find that really what happens when women go into politics, they really do function from the male perspective in terms of how they have to interact with world leaders and such. But, you know, I think that there needs to be a shift there as well. I was wondering if you have given any thought to that or relating to that.
Probably give way too much thought to that. I love what Rwanda is doing, and they've been very proactive, and I think they're at 63% of their government is made up by women now after a very, very proactive effort. And I feel like once we have more women, then the paradigm is going to shift. So I'm not one to simply attack the numbers and just say, we need to get these numbers up, because there's also a level of consciousness that Emerging Women really wants to promote. But at the same time, there are sectors that we do need to be proactive, and we need to have programs in place where we're actually getting those numbers up. Because once there's more women, and the diversity of that will change the way that we're interacting. And right, what's happening right now is so aggressive, and I just want to say it's borderline mean spirited, and it's scary, and it doesn't give me much hope sometimes when I'm watching the news and seeing what's going on, and yet I know that if we have more women in those positions, that things will start to soften, and that really is not it's almost not a gender issue here. Both men and women really need to support this more feminine integrated leadership style, or we as a country and as a world are not going to survive.
I agree, because I think it's important for us all to recognize, as you said in the beginning, we each have a feminine and a masculine side within every one of us, whether it be male or female, and finding that balance and, like you said, supporting the feminine way, both men and women, I think, would benefit from learning what you're teaching through this work of Emerging Women. I also wanted you to speak to women who, at this moment in their lives, while they have the may have the potential for leadership, the potential for being successful in business, how would you offer guidance to women who have the dreams and the ideas, but not yet the tools to make their way into the world?
Right. So on our website, we have so much. We have what we do, power practices with women who have that to offer. We record them and they give guided practices for 10 minutes. So they'll give a guided practice on, I'm doing one now on conscious selling. And we have some on, you know, working with fear. So any part of that emerging journey, whether it's tactical and more tool-oriented and actual skill-oriented to that transformational process that happens when you do start to step out and take those risks and go after your dreams, we have those covered in what we call power practices. Those are available through the website. We release one every 2 weeks. We have our podcast, which is called Grace and Fire, where we interview business leaders. And once again, we're talking about the business, but we're also talking about the concepts and the challenges and how these women have become successful in a way that models that more integrated style that we're after. We also have the power circles. That is probably the number one thing that I would say one should do if they are, especially if they've been unplugged or, you know, been, you know, coming out of the world of mom hood and the periscope comes up, and this happened to me too, and I was like, wow, okay, I'm ready, and going back into the world in a big way. Whether you've done that before or this is your first time, you need to be in a circle of women who will hold you and see you as your most exalted self as you go through this process, because you will have a lot of doubt. And to go it alone is, I feel like, first of all, it's not natural. Women are so collective and relational. This sort of image that we get that we have to go it alone is, I'm learning, just preposterous and not really worth it, because mm-hmm. there's no claim to fame at the end anyway. You know, so much better to come out the other side successful with a boatload of great relationships and people invested in what you're doing. So power circles for sure, and get yourself to an event, whether it's an Emerging Women or some other inspirational connecting event that is, you know, speaking in the language that I'm speaking, that's in your area. It does so much to bring you into this collective, and it will propel you forward.
Wow, that's really wonderful. And people, I want you to know that you can connect to all this through the website, emergingwomen.com. And I know, Chantel, that you're very busy this morning. So if you have anything more that we have left out, please, by all means, share that. And then I know that you just have a lot to do, so I don't want to keep you over long.
Sure. I mean, I would just end with, if you're listening to this and you're feeling, whether you're a very, you know, accomplished executive or entrepreneur already, but you're still feeling that there's more to be done, or whether you're just on the beginning of your journey, that there are other women like you out there, and we're smart and we can get a lot done. And I would really, really encourage everybody not just to believe in yourself, but to take those steps so that you get connected with other women. It will shorten your time of transition exponentially.
That's wonderful. And people can still register for your event.
Yes. And all that information. We also have a free live stream that we're offering, and all of that can be had, whether you want to sign up for the free live stream or whether you want to come to the conference, you can do all that through emergingwomen.com.
Okay, that's wonderful. Thank you so much for joining me today, Chantel Pierrette.
Thank you, Kathy.
You're very welcome, the founder of Emerging Women Live. And I want you to stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments after we take some announcements. Thank you. Welcome back. You're tuned to Heart of Mind Radio over PRN.FM. I'm Catherine. And I want to also put that word out that you would be well served to support PRN.FM. Become a subscriber to this network. It really is an amazing, amazing network. And you can see all the programming when you go to the website PRN.FM. I invite you to do that. And for those of you who enjoy this program, Heart of Mind Radio, you can actually go and search this program on iTunes, and you can favorite on iTunes. It can be downloaded from the website PRN.FM. And for those of you who are listening live Friday morning, starting at 10 a.m., I appreciate that. I thank you for listening and receiving the benefit of what's being shared here, because I believe that it's when the radio is one way that we really can connect, you know, like mind, like heart, and build a future, a change in the world that we will all benefit from. And my guests coming up in this segment are such individuals who are expressing their lives in such a way that it's making change in the world. We're being joined by Suzanne, who is founder of Universal Peace Day and the New York NYC, the New York City Peace Museum. And we're also being joined by Aran Nazaro, and he is a former gang member turned peacemaker. And he is an expert in gang prevention and mediation, plus a drug and alcohol prevention counselor. For the past 9 years, Nazario has been the director of Peace Builders and Community Relations at Compass Youth Collaborative in Hartford, Connecticut. And he actually goes out and speaks to young people and helps turn their lives around. So we're going to be sharing this with you as we come forward. And as I was introduced to this through Suzanne, I'd like to invite you to say hello and tell a little bit about what you're doing here. The Peace Museum, I believe, is sponsoring this event. And then we will invite Aran to join us. Hello, Suzanne.
Hi, Kathy, or is it Catherine now?
I'm still Kathy.
All these years. Anyway, yeah. How are you? And thank you so much for inviting us on your show. We had just an unbelievable evening last night at St. John's Lutheran Church with Iran, and he brought the youth that are in his Peace Builder program, and they came, they shared their stories, they sang for us, and then Iran told his just unbelievable, horrific life story and how he turned it around. And he is one of the most beautiful, humble people that I've ever met. And so I'm so thrilled that you have an opportunity to talk with him, because he is somebody who is inspiring, that people can actually turn their lives around, and he has dedicated his life to really helping young youth turn their lives around. In the middle of the night, he'll befriend gang members, you know, and bring them into his organization, and hearing the stories of how kids were really, you know, they were outcasts. And how by bringing them into this program that he's created has totally transformed their lives. So it was a most inspiring evening last night.
Well, that sounds beautiful, and something that's much needed in the world, certainly in New York City. I want to welcome you, Aran Nazaro. Thank you for joining me this morning to talk about your work as a peace builder.
Well, good morning. Good morning, Kathy, and good morning, Susan. It's great to be on. I really appreciate the opportunity to connect with your audience, connect with you, and share some of the journeys that our program's been on, that I've been on. So I'm really thankful for this day. Thank you.
You're welcome. And tell us a little bit more. Suzanne just gave us a little brief introduction to your past, your history, but tell us a little something about what it was inside of you that caused you to turn your life around.
I would say that approximately 25 years ago, I had an opportunity to, for the first time in my life, feel that someone had believed in me for something positive. My life was surrounded with violence, drugs, and all kinds of gang life. And some of the things that I was going through, I seemed to believe were normal. And it wasn't until I kind of got a glimpse of what was possible that I started to believe in the existence of other beings, of other worlds, of other opportunities. And I think that at some point I started to realize that to have true success and to be a true leader, to also to be positive, that I needed to not only change my situation, but help others change the situations that they were in. And that's what sparked my change. I always felt deep inside of me, despite all the things that I had been through, that I had a specific role to play and that I had a compassionate heart. And I really did not want to be hurting people. And hurting people, I was hurting myself. Eventually I made that change. So I think that was one of the changes, just realizing that something else existed, having an option that I didn't know existed. And once that came to light, I made the change.
Mm-hmm. And your work really illustrates how important it is to reach out to young people who are kind of caught up in that mentality of gangs or fighting and violence.
Right.
And so now you're providing for them what was given to you. Can you speak to some of that experience that you've had relating to young people and how you've seen their lives turn around?
Well, one of the things that led me down this path to start the Peace Builders program 10 years ago was really the day-to-day interactions with young people that were struggling to understand not only the importance of their life, but the importance of education, the importance of relationships, and the importance of having a future goal. Many of the young people that I was servicing through a student and family assistance center at a local school in Hartford were saying that they, although they saw that they were succeeding and accomplishing their educational goals, that they felt that it wasn't important because they still were suffering and struggling on the streets. They were still harassed by gang members. They were still asked to sell drugs. They were still being abused, still being abandoned, et cetera. And they felt that, you know, whoopty, in their words, I have my high school diploma. I just completed my middle school, but it doesn't matter. I'm still suffering. What can you do to help? And that opened my eyes to saying, you know what, I remember being homeless on the street and not having anyone be a resource to me on the street, not in a building, in a physical building that I could visit, but on the street at night, in the middle of the night. And I said, that's what better way to reach these young people than to be out there with them at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. And I started to really take advantage of my experiences with these young people and listening to them and understanding what it was that they needed. And the majority of the time, the young people knew what they wanted. It's the direction and the abilities to actually take the steps to making those things happen is what they were missing. They were acting on impulse, they were acting on rage, and they were acting on pain and fear, and really didn't have folks that could give them those other options that they needed. So my experiences with them have been just incredible. You go from complete human suffering in some of these cases where these kids are abused sexually, physically, mentally, emotionally, to seeing young people like some of the ones we saw last night who come out of these situations and find hope, and they start sharing that hope with their peers, which is what I feel is important. So my experiences have been amazing. Unfortunately, we've lost too many young people in the last 10 years. To gun violence and other means of violence, but I think we're making great strides in changing the lives of many others as well.
Well, that's really so true and so important. I think so often young people are demonized, poor people are demonized in the media, and mm-hmm. Very often the more middle class affluent are, you know, very reticent. They don't want to, they walk with fear of young people and don't really recognize that if they extended a hand, that mm-hmm. it would change the situation entirely. And mm-hmm. you're actually doing, coming up this Sunday, a workshop mm-hmm. on building strategies for connecting to youth at risk.
Right.
So
right.
can you tell us about how it is that you can now help people to do what you do?
Well, one of the things that I do during the workshops and my training is I bring the audience in and we go through real-life scenarios, real things these young people are facing that may have them either portraying to be someone they're not or behaving the way they are, either through via, you know, some type of a pain they're going through, a fear, or whatever the case might be. So in my workshops, we go through those things. We deeply touch on the nerve that these kids have that's aching them. We get into it. We make it live. We make the audience feel exactly what's going on. And then we talk about it. And through the conversation, I start to make sure that I point out the different key points in that conversation and in that experience where an adult or mentor or youth worker, a teacher, et cetera, could step in to prevent the next step from happening in a negative way. So it's really hands-on. It's really interactive, engaging. And it's also one of the things I believe is most important is also knowing that someone in the audience may have a better system, a better philosophy, something that's more effective. So although it's a training and it's a workshop, it's one where you're wearing two hats. You're a teacher and you're a learner at the same time. So the workshops really allow the folks to contribute, but at the same time gives you my perspective on these last 25 years of experience as to the key points in a connection with a young person that where people can step in and prevent the negative outcome that many kids face.
On this event, young people can come as well. It's not just for youth workers. Is that correct?
Right. This is open to anyone that's interested in connecting with young people. In the neighborhood, at a school, inside a prison. It doesn't matter what the location is or where it is that they're working or where they're coming from. It's really just an opportunity for folks to get some insight as to how I do it and what my team has been dedicated to doing for so many years. And then we listen to the audience. I know one of the things that I always say, if you can learn, you can teach. So I leave it open to that kind of dialogue, and I bring back anything I learned to my young people and my staff. So it's open to anyone.
Wow. And for anyone who might be interested, it's coming very soon, Sunday, October 5th from 2 to 4 p.m. And it's at St. John's Lutheran Church, 81 Christopher Street. And it's in advance. You can get tickets for $10 at the door. It's $15, so it's not really very much. Students are admitted free. And you can register, it says here, by going to... What is it?
It's bit.ly. So it's bit.ly/Iran, IRAN, workshop. Very simple.
So it's very simple.
Right.
That you can do the advance, or you can go there and register right there in person. So it's really a beautiful thing, and it's rare, you know, for someone such as yourself to be doing this. I see a lot of work, and even on this program, I interview a lot of people who are looking to improve their station in the world, or looking to improve the state of the world. But not a lot of people reach back into the communities from which they came and really help to lift up people, young people, who would otherwise maybe perish. And I think that this is like a beautiful work that you're doing, Iran, and I so appreciate it. And I hope to be able to bring more of this to the air so that we can have people throughout the city doing things like this. I don't know if there's anything like it in New York, but it would be wonderful to have it.
Well, that's one of the things we would like to do, because Iran has had such amazing success for the last 9 years, and he has actually helped over 2,500 youths, and their success has been over 80%. And also one of the things he shared is that, you know, when you go into that culture, people are so attached to it that a lot of times they don't want help. You know, they don't know that there's options. And so he really puts his life at risk because this is not a gang member's. I don't know if he wants to share anything, but last night for me was such an emotional night to not only hear each and one of the students, the youth's story of how, you know, their attitude and how they couldn't stand the people they were working with, but they then really shifted and understood that they were now in a positive culture. And, you know, once you have that taste, in fact, I think that was one of the things that was so wonderful about Iran's story last night, sharing how he, all of a sudden, he felt someone cared about him. And that was the first time in his life, you know. And mm-hmm. I think we don't realize, because we live in such a disconnected culture, how profound that is, and how that stayed with him for a whole year, and how that really, you share, Iran, about that, because I was just, it was so moving.
Susan was touching on, coming from homelessness to gangs to prison, you really start to believe that that's your condition, that that's normal. And you don't have many many good emotions, many good associations with love and that kind of thing. And having grown up abused by my dad and my mom, and having been in the foster care system and things of that nature, I didn't really know what a true, honest relationship with an adult was. And I remember when I was given my first opportunity to speak in front of a group of social work undergrad students at the University of Connecticut School of Social Work. And I was terrified of those young people, although I wasn't afraid of gangs and drugs and street life and things of that nature. Just sharing my truth and opening my emotions to strangers in a room, sharing my story was terrifying. And although I completely botched the presentation and completely got off track and didn't know what to say, these individuals stood up and clapped for me, and it was the first time in my life that I had been at least acknowledged for anything good, and I hadn't known what that was like. So when I realized that you can be someone who not only can be positive, but can help others and contribute to the well-being of so many, and that feeling just stayed with me. Having those folks clap for me, having those folks acknowledge me for something positive was like, wow, this is possible. I can change this. I can do something different. And it encouraged me, as Susan said, I held on to that feeling of one standing ovation for an entire year. And that just fueled me to say, I know other kids that can come talk to you and that would love to share their story and are looking to connect with anyone that can give an option. And that's where I felt my sharing and my commitment started. And although it wasn't a very simple process of just having that feeling and changing, we had still overcome so many bad habits, but it was the beginning point of a change.
Mm-hmm. It is very inspiring. And when you go out there into the streets at night and you approach young people, how difficult is it to, bring them, in from that situation to begin to start this process?
Well, it all depends on the scenario, but so I'll give you what I know. In the last 9 years, especially, I'll go back to the beginning. In the beginning, because this was so unprecedented and folks weren't really doing this at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, the reception was incredibly cold. People thought that I was possibly doing it because I wanted to have people arrested, or I was working with the police, or I had just simply lost my mind. You know, who are you? Why are you out here? you know, talking to us, that kind of thing. It was really cold, but as the years have gone by, we have a brand, and you know, it's Peace Builders, and we have a logo, has a peace sign, our fingers up with holding the peace sign, and it's now recognized throughout the entire city. So now when we approach young people, they're either saying, oh gosh, here come these guys again who keep preaching about positive stuff, or you know what, those are the people that we're really in need will help us. So it depends on the reception, but normally we always say it takes a lifetime to know someone. But when it comes to young people, the initial conversation, the initial discussion is always a surface discussion. They'll tell you on the surface what's wrong. And it's not until you develop a true relationship and they start to believe that you're there for their good and their well-being that they start to really go deeper and allow you in. So, you know, generally the connection can be quick depending on how well they know you. But for those tougher connections of kids that are far gone or just kids that are new to the neighborhood and don't know who you are, it can take anywhere from 3 to 6 months, you know, to really kind of get into that relationship. But one of the things that I consistently preach and I always say, I think need will always outweigh anything else that people have. When eventually these young people that are suffering on the street will determine or realize they have a need. It's either because they're on the street, they'll be incarcerated or they'll be targeted by other gangs and all that stuff. And the majority of these young people don't want to live like that. They want to have peace. They want to be happy. They want to be healthy. They want to have fun. And eventually that need will outweigh whatever's going on, and they'll reach out. So we're consistent. We don't give up. We don't lock doors on kids. We don't care what it is they have going on. We believe that we just have to continue to do our best to be in front of them, to offer them opportunities, to expose them to other things, and to be present. Be present when no one else is. And I think that's where the connections can come in. So it all depends on the scenario, but we've been blessed with the opportunity and the experience to know some of the things that we need to say and do when we're out there, and we make sure to do that.
Well, thank you so much. And you've been listening to Aran Nazaro, who's having an event on Sunday, Strategies for Connecting to Youth at Risk. It's going to be at St. John's Lutheran Church, 81 Christopher Street. It's from 2 to 4 p.m., $15 at the door, $10 in advance. How can people connect with the work that you're doing if they want to learn more and maybe get involved or duplicate what you're doing? Is there another way that people can connect with you, Aran?
Sure. Folks can either contact me directly at Iran, I-R-A-N, at compassyc.org. Or they can also call my cell phone, which is on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's 860-922-3552. And I welcome anyone that would like to help and has any ideas or resources or, you know, just wants to dialogue about possible ways we can continue to reach these young people. Our project is a lifelong project. It's an ongoing project. It's an evolving project, and we're open to suggestions and assistance in any way that we can possibly have it. So that's how folks can reach me, and I look forward to hearing from people that are very interested in helping young people.
Okay, so thank you very much, and I want to thank you as well, Suzanne, for being with me today.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, Kathy, that this workshop should really be for everybody, not mm-hmm. only working with youth, but adults, community members, family members, partners. You know, it's something I think it's going to be a very, very, very valuable workshop. So I do invite everybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we really encourage young people and students to come, and they're all invited for free. So.
And where is that address again where people can get tickets?
And yes, so they could go register at bit.ly, which is bit.ly/Iran, like the country, Iran. Workshop, all one word. Or they can always email me at info@nycpeacemuseum.org. And thank you so much for having us on, Kathy. You're the best.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Aran. Thank you, Suzanne.
Thank you, Kathy, for having me. And thank you, Susan, for the opportunity to connect with others. And as always, I wish you all peace.
All right, peace. Bye-bye now.
Love.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment with some announcements.
Stay tuned for more cutting-edge viewpoints on PRN, the Progressive Radio Network.
This is Peter Roth, host of Energy Stew, Friday mornings at 11:30 Eastern Time. There are a lot of good healers in the world, and then there are some special master healers. My guest this week is Mas Sajidi, one of the masters. He has unique, powerful energy that he'll send out to listeners during the show, and also speak about foundation frequencies that we can be stuck in and that can limit our progress. Tune in on Friday morning at 11:30 to find out how to become unlimited. This show will be transformative.
This is Guy McPherson. Join me and Mike Sliva with Nature Bat's Last Radio on PRN.FM. Catch us Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. on the East Coast. You can rate the show on iTunes, and if you don't catch us live, you can catch us 24/7 in the PRN archives. That's 8 p.m. Eastern Time with Nature Bat's Last on PRN.FM.
Hi, this is Tony Hendra.
And Jeff Chrysler.
Of the Final Edition Radio Hour.
On PRN.
Your source for organic,
gluten-free,
sustainable
satire.
I welcome you back. I have some reminders to share with you as well. I am really pleased to be participating in the upcoming New Life Expo, and it's taking place October 17th to 19th at the Pennsylvania Hotel. That's over by Penn Station on 7th Avenue. And I'll be speaking on Sunday, October 19th at 4 p.m., and I'll be giving the third segment or the third element in vibrational healing. And we're going to be talking about that inner connection, how we open up that direct communication with the higher self, with the divine self, and really begin to bring that interpretive guidance into our everyday life. It's a beautiful relationship that we can have with our expanded self and with the divine, with that it's a way of understanding and being and expressing in the world as a representative and as a avatar, really, of the higher self. So I want you to join me. It would be a wonderful experience. I'll also be there all weekend. I have a table there with WBAI radio and Heart of Mind radio. And I will be there all weekend so we can engage in conversation. And I decided that I think I'm going to be doing a little bit of energy work there, as well as offering free hugs. So if you want to come by the table and come for a nice big hug, you can do that at on October 19th with Expo 17th to the 19th. This evening is the Spiritual Support Group, Heart of Mind Spiritual Support Group. It's at 6:30, and we're meeting at 388 Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn. We do a meditation during the support group, so you'll be able to sit and enjoy and make that inner connection as well. And those of you can bring a little snack to share, and we have a wonderful time. Again, it's this evening, September 3rd, I guess it is, 6:30 p.m. at 388 Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn. And the other thing I wanted to remind you is that I am offering private sessions in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, for those who are interested in doing energy work or inner child healing work. It's a really beautiful experience. You can find out more by sending me an email, and that's Catherine@heartofmind.org, K-A-T-H-R-Y-N, Catherine@heartofmind.org, or you can phone at 347- 347-480-1694. That number again is 347-480-1694 if you want to make direct contact about this evening's support group or other things that I've shared with you today. I want to thank you for joining me over Heart of Mind Radio and PRN.FM. You can download from the website, PRN.FM, or from iTunes. And I would love it if you could favor the show on iTunes. It really helps to get the word out. And I thank the staff here at PRN.FM and invite you to stay tuned for more great programming.